Warm, soft fingers stroked her hair, tracing a line around her forehead and across her cheek where she'd shed so many tears. Bridget's eyes opened to the soaring atrium of the conservatory, and she felt the silk of Gemma's dress beneath her neck. The agent watched the upper windows as they twisted and divided, adding ever more to their number. She lay sprawled on her back across the platform, her head in the beautiful woman's lap. Gemma's caring touch surprised her, and Bridget did not immediately sit upright.
"How old are you?"
asked the agent.
22. I was 21 when Luciano brought me here."
"You look young for 22.
Gemma inclined her head.
"I have repeated my life many times, starting at my favorite memories with Luciano. I've lost countless years, and every time I arrive here, time has passed within the conservatory. The world outside catches up."
"You can repeat your life?"
"To look upon a window is to visit a memory. To walk through is to repeat it."
"How do you know time passes?"
"I've written many diaries and left them here, as has Luciano. I wish I could show you the library."
"Where is he now?"
She expected him to be dead. Gemma ran the backs of her fingers across Bridget's cheek.
"Everywhere and nowhere. He has long since passed on, but I can still visit him when I choose. When he was alive, he would come to visit me, but he was often drawn into his own memories of our youth. One day he did not come back, and I knew he was dead."
Gerald's smiling face flashed through Bridget's mind.
"Why don't you just merge your memories again? Don't you miss him?"
Her companion pondered the question for a moment.
"Who were you when you delved into my memories?"
She thought of Luciano's firm grip, of his kind smile.
"I had become you."
"And did you remember this place?"
She swallowed, unsure of how to respond.
I couldn't at the time. It was too strange, too new."
The platform began to move once again. Bridget clumsily sat up and got her feet under her to stand. The stranger arose with no effort at all, and gestured to a set of windows quite far away.
"Those are your gift to me,"
she began.
"Little moments of your life. You've been here so many times, and in your mercy, you've built for me memories of your own. Together, we learn to harness the power of this place, and I can freely walk among the lives of all who visit me here, from beginning to end."
Bridget turned to face her.
"Have you seen your own death? Have you seen mine?"
"The conservatory is ever expanding and evolving. I have not yet found those places."
"Has Gerald been here?"
"Yes, but those memories are difficult to reach. I'm sorry."
They stopped in front of another pane of glass, and Bridget reached out to touch it.
"What's this one?"
"It is the moment you met Gerald."
She stared into the depths of the glass, drinking deeply of its hues. Shapes coalesced into barbed wire, mud, and smoke. She smelled gunpowder and manure. A blink brought the training fields northwest of Treveny into focus. Bridget felt the lightness of falling, followed by the heaviness of 100 pounds of expeditionary gear. She gripped her rifle tightly as she dashed for the next obstacle, a 6-foot wooden wall. With a leap, she mounted the wall, hooking her leg over the back. She swung one of her arms over and pulled with all of her might. As she made to climb over the rest of the way, her foot slipped on the muddy lip, and she went tumbling down into the muck. A searing pain in her hip told her of a sprain, and she did her best to remain stationary while she assessed the damage.
"Agent Forsythe!"
shouted the commander, jogging over to her.
"Get up! You're pathetic!"
"I'm not giving up!"
she groaned, laying on her pack like an overturned turtle. He hadn't stopped attacking her since the day she arrived at the October compound.
"You're right, Agent! It would appear you've discovered the subtle difference between resigning and failing. Giving up leaves you with some dignity."
She managed to stand, and the commander snatched her rifle up out of the mud.
"I am doing my best, Commander."
"Your best means nothing to me. Do you think I'm going to let you into the October Squadron just because the Magisters say women can join now?
1,000 replies coursed through Bridget's skull.
No, sir!
He leaned in closely.
I tell you what. If you get in, I'm going to call you lucky. You know why?
No, sir!
He jammed the rifle into her hands and turned to leave.
Because that's the only way you're going to get in, Lucky. Now get to it.
As her new commander jogged off to assault the other recruits, Bridget wiped the filth from her backside. She scowled after him, trying to pierce him with her eyes. But alas, she wielded no such magic.
Lousy.
She grunted, slinging her rifle over her shoulder. She took another muddy step and collapsed onto the hard tiles of the conservatory platform. She stared down at her gloved hands against the intricate stones, and they became blurry.
Gerald,
she whispered, drowned out by the hum of the great engine. Her eyes burned, and her lip trembled. She held the image of her beloved in place, trying so hard to forget his frozen corpse in the antechamber. She wanted to remember the proud commander, but the sensation of his cold skin pushed into her mind like a knife. A drop of salt water splattered against the ground. She repeated his name over and over to herself, longing to feel his hand upon her shoulder once more.
I'm sorry,
said Gemma, her voice hesitant.
But do you now understand why you cannot merge with a memory and change the future? You would never remember this.
Bridget swallowed a sob and bit her lip.
I thought you said it was the moment I met Gerald.
Our reality is never as we perceive it. And I have learned a lot about memory. A person we see is of no consequence until we develop an opinion of them. You do not remember your first baker, or cobbler, unless they did something to deserve it. You did not meet the commander until he verbally assaulted you.
So, you mean...
You have never recalled the first moment you laid eyes upon your lost love. We cannot link to a time forgotten.
The agent blinked away her tears, wiping them on her sleeve as she strode to the edge of the platform and looked out at the millions of windows. A bitter smile crossed her lips.
So why are we here? A better question, why are you here?
Gemma joined her.
I was dying. At any moment, I still am, reflected in infinity down there. I didn't want to die, agent, at least not during my life outside of this place.
I can think of 10 people who would agree with you right now.
And I'm sorry for your loss. I truly am. When our time is up, you may choose to go to them again, if you wish.
Bridget wheeled on her companion.
And what else would I choose?
Gemma bowed her head, the engine's light glinting off the golden chains in her hair.
That will become apparent soon. I merely wish to answer your question.
Bridget took a deep breath and crossed her arms, leaning against the railing of the platform to listen.
Luciano found a way to construct a place inside my mind where he could visit me. My body would die, but as long as it existed in the physical world, I would never perish. He spent his family's fortune and built me a temple at the end of the world where I would never decay. It was a place immune to war, weather shifts in power.
Of course. Boreal Nivalis, a frozen wasteland.
When I wish, I can rejoin myself in time and relive my life up until the moment where...
Until the moment you arrive here.
Dying is a frightening experience. It haunts my dreams.
I'm sorry. It must be painful. I suppose you think I'm cruel.
The beautiful woman took Bridget's hand and clasped it tightly.
I have never thought you cruel. I cherish your visits more than anything. I often visit your time and live your story. I know your life almost as well as my own, and I have studied you from afar.
So there are memories of this moment locked away in here?
The agent looked back at the portal to the hallway.
You said you could see the lives of all who enter here. Who else has been here?
Luciano. The one you call Calendar.
Bridget's hand slipped out of Gemma's grasp. Her eyes widened, and her pulse quickened. Shivers of rage passed through her, and she clenched her teeth until her jaw ached.
Do you mean he came here before, my team?
No, Agent. This has all happened many times before. I alone know because I exist outside the cycle. Soon he will come, and you must make a choice.
I choose to kill him. I don't care what happens to me.
Gemma's green eyes grew misty.
Agent, please understand that...
I understand everything I need to, Gemma. He killed my husband, and now he dies.
She growled, checking her magazine. 3 bullets. More than enough to kill the blasted assassin. The conservatory minder's arms fell to her side, and Bridget knew she had misinterpreted Gemma's words.
Bridget Forsyth, you will never be the one to kill Rory Callender. He meets his end investigating a woman named Bertha Misko. She murders him.
You can't know that!
The windows hummed quietly, reflecting the noise of the engine below. The beautiful woman sighed.
This place contains all of the moments of your life, even those you have not yet seen. I know the places in which I can finally sleep forever, and I have seen the manner in which he dies. I know with all the certainty one can.
Show me. I want to see him die.
No. Our endeavors will be better pursued elsewhere.
I don't care.
No.
Bridget pounded her fist against the railing and screamed.
No? Is that all you can say? I need this. You may be fine tooling around in your magical memory workshop, but this is my life you are playing with.
Only stunned silence came as a reply.
What? You don't have something to say? That's a first.
Gemma turned away.
I'm so sorry. I thought you were ready. I see now that you are not. Let us proceed to your memories by the lakeside and be done with this.
The platform shook alive again, grinding toward its next destination, a pane of glass higher above the ground than any Bridget had seen yet. A sense of foolishness overtook the agent as they rose. The minder clearly expected something of her, but what? She placed a hand on Gemma's shoulder, but Gemma brushed it off and stepped away. When she turned to face Bridget, the woman's makeup had begun to run with tears.
I want the dignity to die, Bridget. Can you even begin to imagine it? An infinity of life within a finite space. I've turned every stone, and if I lived in the world beyond, I would have done the same. I have lived 1,000 lives before I met you, and now I must endure more because of your weakness. Please, I just want to pass into sleep.
I don't understand.
She gave a sour laugh.
Of course you don't. You still think this is about Callender. You're a creature of vengeance and regret. And yet I cannot let you die alone.
Bridget slowly holstered her gun as the platform lurched to a halt. She turned to face the window behind her and saw the caustic glimmer of sunlight on the waves of Lake Richter. She'd never noticed the magnificent color of light on the day Gerald proposed. Now she remembered it as plainly as her own name. The window called to her, beckoning her into its depths to dance with its memories. She ran her hand over the glass without looking too closely, and something clicked.
You spoke of merging with memories.
Yes. You can return to the Commander and relive your life with him. You can cherish every day with him just as you always have, but no more and no less. And one day you will find yourself facing me again,
she said, waving Bridget off. She sank to her knees and rested against the railing.
Go. Walk into the glass and start anew.
Bridget scowled as she stared into the window. The glass shifted, forming the wooden columns of the Aikman Chalet overlooking Lake Richter. She felt Gerald's warm arm behind her head and the silk sheets beneath her nude body. She sighed in the cool morning air and kicked off the blanket. She turned toward her lover and smiled.
Thank you,
she said.
For what?
For all of this. The gorgeous hotel, the boat excursion. It's exactly what I needed.
She grunted, stretching her fingers like a cat.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you.
Shall I ask what for?
He propped his head up on his pillow and ran his fingers over her stomach.
For being so sweet after I dropped the ring. Most girls would have been in a tiff about that.
She gave a happy sigh and remained quiet for a long time, letting him stroke her bare skin. Eventually, she opened her eyes, haunted by a question.
Do you think it might have been a good thing?
Gerald sat up a little straighter and frowned.
No, I wanted to keep that ring.
I didn't mean the ring, darling. Do you think maybe we're being foolish?
He reached out and touched her cheek.
I meant it when I said I wanted you for my wife, Lucky.
Her eyebrows knit together.
But we don't need to do that. We can be together now. I don't need a silly ceremony to tell me who I love.
Doesn't it bother you? Sneaking around like this, pretending we're someone else?
She sat up as well.
Not at all. This way, we both have the Seekers and each other.
Gerald stood, wrapping the fallen blanket around his waist and striding toward his suitcase. He rummaged through it, looking for a clean pair of trunks.
We shouldn't have to live like this.
Baby, it doesn't matter how things should be. It matters how things are. Neither you nor I want to be assigned anywhere but the Octobers.
He pulled on his pants and sighed, staring at himself in the mirror.
I'm sorry. I guess you're right. It isn't like I'm going to resign from my post either.
Is that the brave Commander Krentz I fell in love with talking?
He spun to face her.
If you love me, why can't we...
Their eyes met, and his face fell.
I'm sorry. When you're right, you're right.
He snatched a towel and headed for the door. She swung her legs over the edge of the bed.
Where are you going?
For a swim.
He called back from the hallway. Bridget backed away from the glass, her eyes heavy with tears. She'd broken his heart that day, and she knew it. Even in the end, he'd never stopped thinking about her betrayal.
I can have that life again,
she said, and the choice, it had finally become clear.
Or move onward, and I won't ever see Gerald again.
Gemma's eyes darted up to her.
You've never said that before.
I'm right, aren't I? You've waited here all this time, and you could have passed away if you wanted. You waited here because I...
She said, taking a step toward her hostess.
I have a memory here, after all this is over.
A smile twitched at the corner of the Minder's lips.
I could not leave you to die alone.
I've always chosen Gerald, haven't I?
I cannot begrudge you that truth. I have chosen Luciano 1,000 times.
Bridget felt her mind begin to wander with possibilities.
And where is the way forward? Can I see it?
Gemma looked at her sympathetically.
Far below, there's a window that flickers with lantern light. It exists beyond the extinction of the Seekers and beyond the death of Kalendar. In that memory, you are free.
Can you take me there?
Asked Bridget. And the Minder's face lit up.
Bridget, I can't believe it. You've always chosen to leave me alone. You've never stayed with me this long.
The agent felt a twinge of guilt in her heart, but tried not to make any promises. The thought of leaving Gerald, even for a moment, tore at her insides.
Just let me see it.
Of course. I'll take you there straight.
She began, but the thunder of a gunshot interrupted her. She coughed, and blood oozed freely from a small hole in her bare neck. She brought a trembling hand to her slender throat and touched the blood, lifting her fingers to her face. 4 more shots tore at her chest and arms, the cacophony resonating through the massive chamber. The beautiful woman slumped over to one side, her dying eyes affixed on the window behind Bridget. Bridget whirled to see Rory, standing in the open portal, a smoking pistol at his side.
Strange! You know, I really wasn't sure that would work on a creature like her.
Rage exploded inside Bridget's head, clouding her thoughts.
You!
She screamed.
Drop it!
He called back, gesturing to her gun.
Grab your gun, 2 fingers only, and toss it over the railing.
Bridget did as she was instructed.
On your knees. Link your fingers together and put your hands on your head.
The window was so close behind her. If Gemma wasn't yet dead... Perhaps she could merge into the in-memory and reset things. She raised her hands.
I thought you were here to shoot me.
I am. But first, you're going to tell me what I'm looking at.
How did you get in here?
I can alter thoughts. This place was constructed from them. You'll notice the rest of my squad are absent.
he said, and then gave her a wicked grin.
However, I think I'll ask the questions here.
Another shot from Rory's gun put a bullet through her side, and she collapsed under the weight of the blinding pain. She looked to Gemma, who reached out to her with a trembling hand.
Bridget! It hurts! Please, you must!
She gurgled.
No last words, you're done.
The unknown raised his gun and shot her squarely in the forehead. Thousands upon thousands of windows shattered with deafening force, blasting shards of pure, clear glass across the chamber. Raw magical energy flooded into the conservatory on all sides, and the room rocked violently like a sinking ship. Bridget covered her eyes, peeking between fingers to see the fate of her friend. Gemma's head lolled with the force of the impact before she came to rest against the tiles of the platform. The vacant look in her eyes told Bridget she was at peace. The engine shuddered, spinning furiously as it spewed arcs of polychromatic power over the room. Another explosion blasted the platform, and it tilted without warning into the hail of sparks. Rory leapt to one side, seizing onto the doorframe of the portal. It shifted violently, but the hall behind him appeared clear and stable as he climbed into it. Bridget caught a hold of the railing and looked up into the window on the lake. Her side burned with agony, leaking blood into the maelstrom below, and she lost her grip with her right hand.
Looks like I broke it!
Rory cackled from the safety of the hallway. Her window had begun to crack. She wondered if she could still merge with the memory. Bridget pulled herself toward it, ignoring the assassin at her back. She could live another life with Gerald, free of the unknowns for another 2 years. She could be with her beloved again, and when they came to Point 7, she could die with him, because Gemma would not be there to allow her entry into the conservatory. She could hear the water, feel the leather of the boat seat against her bare back. Searching the fractured glass, she could smell him and taste his lips. She began to fall upwards into it.
Have you got any last words, Lucky?
He called out to her over the roaring destruction, and she snapped back out of the memory. She looked to him as the platform tumbled away into a fiery blast below. Following it with her eyes, she saw a window along the bottom rim of the room that still flickered with orange light. It had to be 20 feet forward and over 200 feet down, past the ruptured, whirling core of the crystalline engine.
Lantern light,
she whispered. Rory mockingly placed a hand against his ear.
What was that? You might want to speak up! It's hard to hear you over the collapsing room!
She thought of Gerald's caress one more time, of his last kiss.
Lantern light!
She shouted back, tracing a glyph with her free hand as she pulled upward with all of her might. Time slowed. Rory predictably fired at her center mass, but by then she had moved much of her body. She turned to look at the target, the distant speck of orange light, and let go of the ledge. She planted her feet into the wall, planned her jump, and kicked out with all of her might, launching into the open void. The conservatory belched flame and whipped out at her with arcane streamers, but she spread her arms and legs, guiding herself toward the orange window like a leaf on the breeze. She heard Rory's triumphant laughter from far above her. He wouldn't shoot at her again. He would assume she had died. As a gnarled steel arm of the twisting engine passed mere inches in front of her face, she couldn't help but agree with him. She centered herself over the flaming light of her destination and tucked her arms into her sides. Reality began to accelerate. She smashed through the orange window like a diver through the surface of the water. In that moment, she'd understood why Gerald quarantined the place. He didn't want to see Gemma's heart destroyed by the Seekers. The explosion threw her clear of her vantage point, and she slammed down against a half-ruined flagstone wall. Her ears rang, and all other sounds vanished. Her vision flashed. She might have blacked out for a moment, but she couldn't be sure, because she couldn't feel the passage of time. She only knew that she was outside, and she was cold. Bridget struggled to her knees and placed her palms upon the frigid ground. Snowflakes drifted past her eyes, and one landed on her bare hand. She watched it, patiently expecting it to become a drop of water on her warm skin. It didn't melt. She touched it with her other hand, and it smeared into a streak of gray ash. Acrid smoke filled her nostrils as her sense of smell returned.
Where?
She looked up, still woozy from the crack to her skull, and saw the source of the fire, the collapsed Seeker main house in Gelset's capital of Cerceval. Columns of flame had erupted throughout the city, and a bright red plain broke apart in the sky. Ashes blanketed the spot where the house once was, and in the epicenter of the destruction, there stood a man. Gleaming silver armor sheathed his skin, and he carried a sword as tall as himself. The Seekers, who had been fighting him only moments before, had been decimated. Bridget's heart raced as she looked at him, and memories of his butchery leaked into her brain. She remembered a fight, but the details had disappeared in the chaos. She knew only of his unfettered strength and fearsome prowess. The armored stranger looked to the nearby street and smiled at a woman with flaming red hair. The woman froze. Was she afraid? Angry? Her smooth, impassive face confused Bridget. Then the woman turned away, distracted by something in a nearby alleyway. The man disappeared as well, leaping over the ruins of a building as easily as hopping a curb. Bridget couldn't remember why she'd come back. She remembered defecting, but something had brought her here to bear witness to the end of the Seekers. It felt so strange, like hearing a song she'd heard long ago but forgotten. She thought for a moment of her time at Point 7, losing her squad and hiding out in the ruins. She had no memories of the place after the moment of Gerald's death. The unknowns must have done something to her. Piercing green eyes teetered on the edge of a memory and then vanished. She stood, her bones aching after the brutal beating of the explosion, and looked around at the extinction of the most powerful order of Magi on the planet. If she hadn't been in the incident at Point 7 and fled the Seekers, she would have died here today. Then she looked down at the diamond engagement ring, gleaming in the ashen light of the morning.
Lucky.
She breathed and jogged away into the devastated capital.
My every waking breath. you've enjoyed any of the music you've heard today, it can be purchased on Amazon.com. Just search Last Days of the October Squadron. You can also find it online at thegearheart.com. This podcast was edited by Matt Weber and is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivatives 3.0 license. For more information, visit creativecommons.org.